start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name.
Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet.
Praise him with the strings and pipes.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let us praise. Almighty and everlasting God,
you dwell in the heavens surrounded by angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, as they offer their worship and say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven, we thank you that we may also join in their unending hymn of praise. Of your goodness, you have blessed us with this organ to enliven our offerings of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as we with heart and voice glorify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
It's always proper to hear what Scripture has to say. So from 2 Chronicles 29, and he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and harps and lyres, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer and of Nathan the prophet, for the commandment was from the Lord through his prophets. The Levites stood with their instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded that the burnt offering be offered on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song to the Lord began also, and the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. When the offering was finished, the king and all who were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. And Hezekiah, the king, and officials commanded that the Levites to sing praises to their Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. And they sang praises in gladness, and they bowed down and worshipped. Then Hezekiah said, "You have now consecrated yourself to the Lord. Come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of the Lord." And the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all who were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 5, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And the evangelist John writes to us from Revelations, "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He who sings, sing praise twice. It's a quote attributed to St. Augustine, but it's one of those quotes that would attract a name regardless. What it captures is the intersection of music and worship. Purists of both stripes have long attempted to separate them, either an austere worship in word alone or music shorn of its transcendence. But even the purists intuit the connection. The music critic who returns to a religious vocabulary to describe his or her reaction to a piece. The word only worshiper, who is first in line every year for the Messiah and is already thinking about it in June. The purpose of the readings is to show that this connection is simply part of the created order. When David took Jerusalem and moved the ark into the city, he danced before it in song and ordered the priests to set up choir and band. And when his heir Hezekiah restored the temple some centuries later, he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and harps and lyres. And when the offerings began, the song of the Lord began also, and the trumpets accompanied the instruments of David. More centuries pass, and Paul tells his congregation in Ephesus to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father. And even in Revelation, that book of the end, it's held together throughout it by this new song. It starts with the four living creatures around that throne, and it swells to the host of heaven. And it continues to roll and add verses through the book and highlight different groups of the hosts of heaven in a call and a response throughout John's vision, "Worthy is the Lamb." Music from beginning to end is part of that created order. The purists aren't wrong that worship by itself or music by itself are good things. God made his creation good. But Augustine understands the gospel. When we have received good things, it's always right to return them in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. When the image of God has been restored in us through the blood of the Lamb and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we get to join with the living creatures and the elders and the angels and the archangels and all the hosts of heaven. St. Mark's is not the Jerusalem temple. Neither are we a cathedral installing metal pipes, but the Father has always been riotous in his variety of creation, glorying not just in those things that we give glory to, but also lending his majesty and grace to many different expressions of praise, being present wherever two or three are gathered in spirit and truth, walking with those who would walk with him, making melody to the Lord with their hearts. And that is what we are here to dedicate. This organ is our cymbal, harp, lyre, and trumpet. It's our walking together in praise. It comes out of the spirit and truth and the song in the heart of the Lord of this people. So we will dedicate it to its purpose and seek the favor of the Lord to bless our voice and add it to that rolling hymn of heaven. Amen.
And now, we set apart and dedicate this organ to the worship, honor, and praise and glory of God and to the edification of his holy people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The lemur will now give it its works.
Thank you. so beautifully said. The piece you just heard was the Prelude and Fugue in D major by J.S. Bach. It was one of Bach's earliest organ works, probably written sometime around 1710. You heard the really kind of virtuosic scales and arpeggios throughout both the pedals, the feet, and the manuals. The next piece is the Lullaby from Suite No. 2 by Calvin Hampton. Hampton is an American composer, actually lived part of his life in New York City. And this lullaby is a theme and then three variations. And in each variation, you'll hear the accompaniment gets increasingly faster. So first eighth notes, and then triplets, and then 16th notes. And this piece is very beautiful. I like to think of the image of the night sky, kind of a relaxing image. It's very calm and serene, but it's still alive with the light of the stars. So The Lullaby by Calvin Hampton.
Thank you.
close friend Robert Schumann, who passed away in the same year that this piece was composed. So it has a very somber atmosphere, but it's a very beautiful.
Thank you.
II by Louis Vierne, who again was the almost blind organist. An organ symphony is almost like a regular orchestral symphony, except it's geared obviously towards the organ. The instruments that these were written for were very symphonic in nature, so they tried to almost mimic the sounds of the orchestra. In this piece, you'll hear two themes. One is a very jagged, rhythmic, almost violent theme presented right at the beginning, and then in the middle, there's a much more lyrical theme. And then at the end of the piece, the two themes are presented behind, on top of one another. So, first movement of Symphony 2 by